From Podcast Detroit Studios in the heart of the Motor City, it's time for your source for Blue Collar Talk, the ARC Junkies podcast. Here's your host, Jimmy McKnight.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 33 of ARC Junkies. I am your host, Jimmy McKnight, and this episode is very special because on the lines, I have four-time X Game medalist and the inventor and CEO of Grip Clean, Bryce Hudson, on the line. How you doing, Bryce?
I'm doing mighty fine, man. Man, I always sound way cooler when people introduce me like that. Thanks for the great introduction.
Hey, no problem. That's my job. I always got to make everybody sound awesome, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, make me sound cooler than I am. I'm okay with that.
So let's talk a little bit about Grip Clean, because when I came across your product, I mean, the first thing that raised my eyebrows was that it's dirt-infused soap. So how does dirt-infused soap actually clean your hands? Because I know after all day of working, I go to use the hand soap that we have at my shop, and my hands are all dry, they're cracked, they're nasty when I get done. And when I use your product, I noticed that wasn't quite the case. So I'm very interested on how this stuff really works.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of started from the beginning in the sense that, yeah, you nailed it. I'm a four-time X Games medalist guy, and grew up doing my own motorcycle work, maintenance, you know, changing oils, getting dirty and stuff like that, and used the products out there that most people are familiar with, the orange stuff, Gojo or Fast Orange. And I had the same issues. I'd use them, it'd dry my hands out real bad. I'd even have some allergic reactions, and kind of just asked around the industry and was like, man, I can't be the only one that feels like this stuff is just shit, to be honest.
So, right.
I asked around and everyone's like, yeah, we have the same issues. And I was like, well, I had a bad injury in 2013. It was, and I was laid up on the couch with a busted leg and was like, man, I can't ride motorcycles forever, but what could I make maybe that's maybe still in the automotive industry that I still love, you know? So I kind of feel like I'm still part of the family here. And, kind of hand soap came about, man. So did some research online on how to make soap. And, just while I was sitting in this cast for 6 months, I just started blending some different batches and things. And, the dirt idea came about though, because, just through working in the dirt, obviously in motocross, I remember it was right out of high school. I was working on a buddy's trophy truck or just a truck. And, we went to wash my hands. It was all dirty, greasy, grimy, and couldn't get the grease off. And he's like, dude, just rub your hands in the dirt and, you know, just scrub it off kind of. I'm like, all right, well, so I scrubbed it in the dirt, and then I added some like Dawn dish soap, and sure as heck, it worked really freaking good. It worked really good at taking the grease off. So kind of just, I've always had that idea in my head, and then just did some more research on dirt, and I just found out that it's the best substance at absorbing chemicals, oils, grease, and toxins. And I kind of took a note out of the women's playbook. You know, they use it as a face mask all the time for those same reasons. You know, you put it on your face, let it absorb the oils and toxins, and you feel clean and fancy in an all natural way. So, I kind of put the two and two together. I made a kick-ass vegetable based hand soap, and then I put the dirt in it as well. And, now we got Grip Clean. It's boring.
I mean, how cool is that? Who would have thought that dirt, the thing that you have to wash off yourself constantly, would be the thing that is actually going to help you get clean?
I know. And that's kind of the irony of it as well. You know, I mean, it's an interesting product. It kind of grabs your attention, but at the end of the day, it does work, and it works better than the other products that are out there. So, and it's not just any dirt. We use like a cosmetic grade clay. So it's actually one of the most absorbent particles on the planet, actually, you know? So it's all safe to use. I started out just digging up stuff in the backyard and was rolling with that. But then we found much better quality stuff. There was all kinds of different types of soils, you know, stuff I didn't realize before. So I did a bunch of research on it, and I found the best stuff. Got it.
Right on. What's the response been from the customers on Grip Clean? I mean, has it been so far pretty positive? I mean, what have you come across from people that have used your product?
Man, not to toot my own horn, but all the feedback has been 100%. And I mean, that's what really keeps me going on a daily basis, because in the beginning I wasn't sure, and it's a small item, and you got to sell a lot of $9 bottles of soap to kind of be profitable. And
right.
But everybody loves it, man. It's the same thing. They love that it doesn't dry or crack out their hands. They love they can use it on all the way up their arms, on their feet, your neck, your face, if you're getting, you know, a super greasy job. And it's been phenomenal. And it's super concentrated, too. So anybody that's used to using the other stuff, normally you'll put like five or six pumps on your hands to try to wash everything off. But ours you can use much less. And just the feedback has been awesome. And it's, like I said, I started out in the motocross automotive world, but now I see the value so much with fabricators, welders, construction workers, and all the people getting dirty, greasy, grimy. And it's really cool to see people actually try it and like, holy crap, I've never had anything take this grease off before. Like, it's been stained on my hand for months, you know?
Right, right.
That keeps it going. It's awesome.
Yeah, all the blue-collar trades got one thing in common, man. We all have to wash our hands at the end of the day. And with your product being out there, actually doing the job the way that it's doing, man, it's fantastic. I also saw a video on YouTube where you were actually on Shark Tank promoting this stuff. And if I'm not mistaken, you got backed. Am I right?
Well, there's another story behind that one, too. So, yeah, we went on the TV show Shark Tank. I was always an avid fan of the show. And then I was one night Googling, like, oh, man, how do you get on Shark Tank?
Right.
And there was a walk-in audition in Las Vegas in, like, 4 or 5 days from when I looked it up. I'm like, well, that's kind of ironic. And I'm only about 4-hour drive from Las Vegas. I'm like, well, crap, let's try it. Let's go out. Let's drive out there and see if I can get in front of anybody. So I drove out there, stood in line for the audition, gave my little spiel. And they liked it, and then they ended up throwing me on the show about 8 months later. It was a long trial and error process.
Mm-hmm.
So we aired on the television show. It was the scariest thing I've done up to date. And we actually had an offer from Lori Grenier, the younger blonde lady, and but we never actually closed the deal on the back end. So it's pretty typical, actually, I found out from a lot of the companies that air on there. I mean, at the end of the day, it is a reality TV show.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was phenomenal, the amount of coverage and support we got and online orders. And it was such an awesome experience, a learning experience for me. I was so much younger at the time, and it's crazy what I've learned from it. And so we didn't get back, but, I mean, the coverage we got from it, like I said, we had retailers contacting us, Advance Auto Parts, and these big retail chains that you just couldn't normally get in front of normally, you know, but being able to say, hey, we're a Shark Tank featured product, it just it's helped out so much getting some phone calls back.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, that had to be like the major exposure with Shark Tank like that. That had to help you out, especially since you showed up in such style, catwalking on the set, you know, the way you did. I mean, Mark Cuban himself was like, whoa, when that happened, that was pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, I rode the bike in and did a wheelie down the hallway. But yeah. It's funny because you're not allowed to see the studio set when you go on the show. Like, you don't get to preview it or go in or set your table up or anything. Like, if you ever see the show, when they open those doors up and you walk down the hallway, that's real. Like, you get one shot. That's it.
Right.
But my first take, they open the door and I go to like pop a wheelie and I stalled my motorcycle in the hallway. And I'm like, guys, we gotta redo this. Sorry. So we ended up restarting it over. So I got to go twice.
That's funny, man. So how did you get into motocross? Where does your journey into motocross sort of begin? Because I mean, you're a 4-time X Game medalist. Where did all that start for you?
Yeah, I mean, when I was little, I always rode bicycles, you know, skateboards, all the action sports stuff was into it. And then, forgot how old I was. I probably be 12 or 13 years old. And my neighbor got a dirt bike for his kid. And his kid was a little bit younger than I was. No one in my family was into motocross at all. Oh, gosh. Sorry. That's my alarm going off to tell you to call you.
You're good, man. No worries.
Oops. So I was a younger guy. My neighbor got a motorcycle. And I'd always go over there and ride with him and his kid. And I'd always go with them to the desert. They'd go on the weekends, and I was just always third wheeling it and riding their stuff whenever they weren't. Then my dad finally got me a bike when I was 14, 15. It was a piece of crap bike, but hey, it would make do, you know, which was awesome. And then just kind of kept riding from there. When I was 16, I got my first job, saved up for my other first new bike. I just had a severe passion for it. I loved everybody in the industry, all the friends that I met through there. Just we were on the same wavelength, you know, it was fun. And then did it through high school. It's kind of just a passion, you know. And then right out of high school, it was the tipping point of, okay, do we go to college? Or, well, you know, it's everybody in that weird stage of what are we going to do in life? And I took a semester of community college. And I just, at the same time, I was still riding my bike, doing a lot of stuff. And one weekend I got called to do an event from this promoter. He said, hey, we got this show coming up. I've seen some of your videos around the internet, yada, yada. Would you like to come out and ride it? Like, heck yeah. So I went and rode it, and I think I made $2,000 on the weekend riding my dirt bike.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, this is what I want to do right here. This is it. That was cool.
Yeah.
So I kept going at it. And then next thing you know, I hooked up with that promoter, and he gave me a ton of events and shows and was booked solid for the summer. And it's just been crazy. It's just been doing one event after another. And that kind of led into X Games, same thing, you know, just kind of getting your name out there, doing those events, and people see you, and as you get better, people recognize it, and made it to X Games, the big stage, and I've had a lot of success there the last couple years. So it's a crazy journey. Never did I think I was ever going to be a professional motorcycle rider or mixing soap either, but you got to go where the cards lay, you know?
What was the first year that you competed in the X Games?
2013. So okay. 2013, that was my rookie year. My first event that I've ever been in, and I won it actually, which was awesome. That was on Friday night. And then the next day I was scheduled to do a second event, and I was practicing, and I actually laid down the fastest practice time. So I was looking good going into the main event. And then on the last leg of practice, I crashed and I broke my legs.
Oh.
I never got to do the second event, and I was super disappointed on that, but that was the injury that led into Grip Clean hand soap. You know, that was when I was sitting on the couch like, okay, you can't do this forever. What could we do? So I like, you know, they say everything happens for a reason. And so I don't think the soap would have been born if I didn't get injured right then and there.
What were some of the trial and error things that you went through when creating the soap? I mean, I'm not a chemist in any way, shape, or form, and I would imagine that you aren't either. So when you were kind of mixing this stuff together, I mean, what was some of the trial and errors situations that you came across in doing this? Did anything kind of explode in your face while you were making it, or how did this all go down?
Yeah, it's funny. Well, when I was first thought of the idea, I didn't really start making it myself off the bat. I actually called a bunch of contract manufacturers and kind of explained to them my idea. I was like, hey, I want to make a natural hand soap, and I want to put some dirt in it to help absorb grease and oil. And every company I contacted just turned me away. They're like, no, this is dumb. We're not bringing that stuff in our facility. We don't specialize in that, yada, yada. So I spent like a year trying to find somebody to do it for me, and then nobody would do it. I seriously couldn't find anybody. So it was at that point, I'm like, all right, if nobody's going to do it for me, then it's the classic, I'm just going to do it myself. So started researching some stuff online on how to make some homemade soaps, like, you know, grandma style, old school, and made some stuff and tried a bunch of different ingredients till I figured out which one cleaned the best, but didn't dry my hands too much, but didn't leave them too slimy. And then the biggest headache I had, like you said, I wasn't a chemist. Like, I had a pretty cool little soap base that worked well, but it wasn't formulated and ready for selling, in the fact that it wasn't stable. It would melt under heat and it would freeze, and it just, you know, you couldn't put it on the shelf without it separating and stuff like that. So that was another headache, and I couldn't find anybody to help me out with that issue. And I actually found some like underground chemist message board forums online. There was like all these smart chemists that do, you know, I just talk about different stuff and all these things. And I found them and posted some of my issues on there, like, hey, I have this, and this is what it's doing. And then, there were some freaking geniuses on there, and they pointed me in the right direction, gave me some stuff to try, and tried a couple other ingredients, and wham, bam, we had a completed product. So that was one of the hardest parts, was actually just getting a formula that was safe to sell in the market and stable and long-lasting. Mm-hmm. And then the second part that was very, very hard was I was mixing this stuff in like a crock pot originally, like literally a crock pot to cook it. And then I never realized how hard it was going to be to get soap into bottles. Like, you would think you would just pour it in there, but it's like a real thick, gooey, gritty substance. So it doesn't just flow like water and pour in bottles. So I remember I'd cut plastic bags or like cake icing bags. They have like a little tip on the end of it.
Yeah,
you'll fill it with stuff and try to squeeze it into bottles, and I was trying that, and then it'd pop and spill everywhere, and you get soap everywhere. It was just a nightmare. Never realized how hard it was going to be. So then I actually had to get a custom machine made to fill the product, because it was, like I said, it's so gritty with the pumice sand in there that most machines can't handle that without breaking with after a couple of fills or strokes.
Yeah.
We had to get one custom made, and that was a big deal. And but I still have that machine today, and it kicks ass. It's filled pretty much every single bottle that we've ever made. So it was a great investment, but that was, yeah, the formula stabilizing and getting it into bottles. Those are two of the hardest things.
Yeah, that's funny you bring that up about the bottles. I have a buddy of mine who brews his own beer, and when he did his first batch, it was like, oh, yeah, this is all great. This tastes awesome. How do we get it into the bottles now? And you're right. It was like it was an absolute nightmare mess for him, too. So I get what you're saying.
Pretty funny.
How did you how did you decide to come up with the consistency versus the actual bar of soap? Because, I mean, you know, a lot of people out there that make their own handmade soap. I mean, you open up some of these bars of soap and they look very questionable. There's all kinds of weird looking stuff in them. They look very odd. But yours, I mean, yours looks like a professional hand soap. So how did you kind of decide to go into the texture that it is versus a bar of soap?
Yeah, just through my personal preference. Like, I mean, bar soaps are pretty good. One was they're a little bit harder to make, that you need some molds and you got to pour them into molds. And so making it at home, it just wasn't as easy to start. And with a few switches, you could turn it into a bar soap. And then same thing, like, I knew where this wanted to go. I wanted to get it into automotive shops and fab shops and hanging on people's walls for, like, multi-employee environments. And I just knew, like, the bar soap, like, I've never been a fan that one sitting on the counter sink, or if you're sharing it with a bunch of people, it's kind of gross. If they grab it with their dirty hands, yeah, you got to grab it. It's just, it's not a shared item necessarily. So I just went the liquid route, and then I knew there were some different packaging options with the pump and stuff would be nice. And yeah, that was pretty much it. I mean, bar soap is good. I think some people do enjoy it, and it would get some serious scrubbing power, but it just was harder to make, so I kind of stayed away from it.
Right. Plus, like you said, the sanitation issue, really, I mean, it's not a community thing. You're right. I mean, it's not like you're going to go into a shower and just find some stray bar of soap and be like, yeah, this will work. You know, I mean, yeah, right. Like, I go into, you know, at my shop, you know, you go into the bathroom at the end of the day to wash your hands, and they have all of the lava bars all over the place. And they're just these little dirty green bricks all over the place, and it's like, I don't want to necessarily wash my, like, you got to rinse it off first and then wash your hands. It's like, you're right, you know, versus the bar, you know, the texture that you have versus the bar definitely seems the way to go. So I applaud you on that, sir, and please don't go do the bars. They're just just don't work.
And nobody ever wants to drop the bar of soap, you know.
So no, don't drop the bar of soap for sure. Where's the bell? What do you have coming down the pipeline next for Grip Clean? Is there, do you do any promotional events where you show up, bring a tent and things like that, or how does your promotion work for Grip Clean?
Yeah, we do a lot of local stuff around here. We hit some motocross races and things like that. I don't have anything too big on the schedule coming up, but we're hoping to be at SEMA and Apex this year, the trade show, because we were there a couple years ago. We'd like to come back and have another booth, so that'd be a big one for us. But we've just been big on social media, man. We just like to creep around on people's photos and posts and give them a little poke every now and then. But it's just amazing the amount of people that have dirty hands out there, you know. So it's just one person at a time, I realize, you know, getting somebody to try the product, really educating them on it, and it seems like everybody that tries it enjoys it and then tells their friends about it. You know, like, hey, man, I found this really quality product and you guys should try it too. And that seems to be a big thing in the fab world. You know, if you find something that you like and works well, like, you tend to tell your friends, because, I mean, that's how good products and brands are built. It just takes a little bit of time.
That's so true. And you guys are doing the right thing by being on Instagram and going into the blue collar communities that are on Instagram, because it's very apparent and everybody loves to show off what they're doing, and everybody loves to, bring attention to the fact that they're builders, they're makers. And I mean, you offer the perfect product to accompany all of that. So, I mean, your marketing strategy is pretty spot on if that's how you're doing it, is just going through Instagram and social media versus ads nowadays. I mean, social media really seems to be the way to go. I mean, you can accomplish so much and get your product out there so much for free on social media versus taking ad space from something.
You are 100% correct. So, and I've just never been a fan of ads. I can't remember the last time I bought something because an ad popped up, unless I was maybe already interested in that product. But
right. They're more annoying, like, clickbait, really.
Yeah, exactly. And more like, gosh, I'm sick of seeing that thing.
Right. Now, see, what would be cool is, you know, how normally, like, you'll be talking about something, and then you'll get on Facebook, for instance, and it'll be all like, the thing you just talked about is now for sale here on your timeline. How cool would it be if now that we've been talking about Grip Clean and my phone's here, the next time I get online, there's Grip Clean. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we got to get out there for these people. We got to expose everybody to Grip Clean, because I absolutely love this product that you made, man, and I'm 100% behind you on this. So, before I let you go, please tell everybody your social media and where they can find you and how they can order your product.
Yeah, so you can find me personally, my Instagram, BHUD, that's B-H-U-D, numbers 96, BHUD 96, if you ever want to see my crazy motorcycle stunts and things like that, that's that one. And Grip Clean, you can check us out on Instagram and Facebook, that's at Grip Clean, G-R-I-P, clean, all one word. And you can find us direct on our website, gripclean.com, or Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime has been a big one for us. So 2-day shipping, boom, ready to go. And those are the two biggest places. And we're working on getting in a couple more retail locations near you. So we'll keep you posted.
Very cool. Do you have any events that you're going to be riding at soon here?
I don't. I actually turned a lot of them down this year. This is the first year that I'm kind of turning them down in the sense that business is too busy.
Right.
Last year I did a lot of stuff on the road, but, you know, being on the road, I'd fly out on Thursday and then do the events on weekends, get back on Monday, recover on Tuesday, and then work Wednesday to fly out Thursday again. So it just
right.
wasn't really adding up. And, now that we got more customers and more everything going, man, it's a Monday through Friday full-time gig. So I'll do X Games again this year. X Games is going to be end of July in Minneapolis, and that'll be my next big showing. So hopefully you guys could check it out.
Before I let you go, I want to talk about X Games real quick. What was your experience like? What's the experience like being involved in the X Games? Because I know growing up watching the X Games, you know, that's where all the badasses were. Like, it was finally there was a competition for skateboarders, rollerbladers, motocross. I mean, what's the experience and the vibe like at X Games compared to other competitions?
Oh, man, it is amazing. I mean, just like you said, when I was a kid, that was the platform. That was the coolest place. You know, you wanted to be an X Games medalist. And getting the first invite was star-striking, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, the whole vibe is awesome, man. The organization is very professional. It's owned by ESPN and Disney Productions.
And Disney, really?
It's a top-notch place. Yeah, Disney.
Man.
Yeah, it was interesting because when I got my first check, it was like from Disney Entertainment. I'm like, what the heck? I don't work for Disney. So that was interesting.
Man, that mouse has his fingers in everything, man.
Yeah, so top facility. They always care about the athletes and riders. They take care of us. They compensate us well. And it's just been such a blessing. I never, ever thought I was going to be there, let alone multiple years, one after another. And made really good relationships with the people that work there, and they all enjoy working with me as an athlete. And it's just so much fun. And then being able to get on TV and promote the product at the same time, it's like a slam dunk for me. So I can't complain about that.
Right. I noticed you guys did a little bit of sponsoring of Alex Laughlin from Gas Monkey Garage.
Yeah. So Alex actually had seen my Shark Tank episode when it aired, and he reached out to me on Instagram, and dude, we just clicked and like became friends after that. He's never really wanted anything in return. He just loves the product. Same thing. He's promoted it through his race team and uses it regularly. And he's just a top notch guy, big heart, and been very helpful. So he's definitely spread the word in that industry and got us a lot of ins with a bunch of people actually. So that's all it takes, man, is just people believing in the product and spreading the word. And yeah, he's a good guy for sure.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm a huge fan of his and what he does, man. So that was kind of how I really got exposed to you guys, was through him. And then I saw your product through him.
Go.
So yeah, it definitely worked, man. It's bringing the attention towards you like you need.
Yeah.
All right.
Dang it, now I got to go thank Alex again.
Very cool. All right, Bryce, thank you again very much. It was absolutely awesome to have you as a guest, man. And like I said, we're going to be promoting Grip Clean as much as possible for you. And let me know the next time you have an event or something near Detroit, man. We'll get you in studio and have you back on the show.
Love it. I'm definitely going to let you know if I make it out there. So thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. That's it, everybody. Thank you so very much for listening. If you would like to email the show, you can arcjunkies@gmail.com. Let me know if you like what I'm doing or don't like what I'm doing. Also, if you are an iTunes listener, please remember to hit subscribe and leave a review, because your reviews ultimately help the show get more exposure and reach more people. This episode is sponsored by Aesop Welding and Cutting Products, with over 100 years of service in the welding industry. And until next week, work safe and weld hard.